Neil, welcome to Eye on the Arts.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lisa, and congratulations on your Oscar nomination. It must be feeling pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty amazing. I mean, the thing that shocks me is if I look back on when I was shooting the film compared to where it's ended up now, it definitely is a feeling of, it's almost a feeling of relief, really, because I was I wasn't really sure how people would take it. So the fact that it's being received as well is a very, very, very good feeling.
What were your initial aspirations for the film?
Well, I think every director only. Well, actually, I shouldn't speak for other directors, but definitely for me, what I try to do is make a film and then continue to make films that are the kind of films that I want to watch. You know, you make stuff that you want to see realized. And if I imagine myself as an audience member, it's like, is this the kind of film I would like to see, and does it have the ingredients in it that I want? And so District 9, always, the answer was always yes for me on that. And that was all I was really aiming for. It was making a film that I felt proud of, and a film that would resonate with me as an audience member. And I was aware of the fact that there was a possibility that it would only be a very small group of people, you know, like these kind of diehard science fiction fanboys that would like it, and potentially maybe a bigger audience, but maybe not. So that my aspirations were, you know, it was going to be a film that the sci-fi community would probably like, and that outside of that, it was sort of touch and go.
So the fact that it found itself being nominated for 4 Oscars, including Best Picture and Writing for You, and Terry Tatchell, who's your wife, I believe?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was that something even in your wildest dreams that you thought might happen?
No, I mean, it honestly wasn't. You know, it really just wasn't. It's not when you start off making your first film and you have a very clear idea of what the film is. It's very much a genre film with, you know, people exploding. Like, Oscar just doesn't enter into the equation. I mean, I think that if there was anything I would have put money down on, the fact that it might win or at least be nominated for, I suppose it would be visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always striving for something that would be, you know, sort of world-class visual effects, and the guys in Vancouver really stepped up to the plate and made that happen. So I would still have been skeptical on the visual effects front, but if that was the closest thing to the Oscars, I think would be that.
And you did in fact get that, and then some.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So everything else is a total surprise.
How much of it was shot here in Vancouver? You referred to the guys here.
The guys here are the visual effects guys.
Okay.
So what happened was we shot the photography in mid 2008, and all of those photographic plates, in other words, the edited movie, was handed over to the visual effects team in Vancouver that was split between 3 companies here. And 2 of them did the vast majority of the work. And those guys then introduced the alien characters to our photography that we shot in Johannesburg, and stuff like the robotic exosuit at the end of the film, and mm-hmm. all the stuff that's CG, really.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a total Commonwealth film. It's a New Zealand, you know, South African, Canadian production.
Yeah. So this leads to the question of how did you set it up for the actors, primarily the lead actor in the film, to work so much with what would turn out to be CGI creations? Did you have a body double?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what happens, I think, with a lot of movies when you're dealing with a lot of visual effects is that they can become very stale and contrived. And it's because the actors, the real life actors, are interacting with like a tennis ball, literally, you know, on a C-stand. So what our approach was slightly different, which was that we had the guy who plays Christopher Johnson, the guy who plays the lead alien, was right there, and we filmed it like a normal scene. I mean, you know, if I, as a director, was imagining that this was an alien, and Sholto, who was playing Vickers, was imagining it was an alien, and then the guy who was playing Christopher knew he was an alien, we would just shoot it like a normal scene between 2 people, and then the guys in Vancouver would take that that photography, and they would use Jason's performance as Christopher Johnson to drive their animated creature that would basically be composited on top of him. And anything that was left over around the silhouette of the alien of Jason that remained would be painted out so that it was as though he was invisible.
Sure, right. Now, District 9 is based on a short film that you made a few years ago.
Yeah. Right?
Alien in Joburg? Is that what? Alive in Joburg. Alive in
Joburg.
Exactly. Right.
It was Alive in Joburg was the name of it.
What?
And that was, I mean, all I was really doing there was, I always knew I wanted to direct films, I mean, from a pretty young age. And there's a lot of different ways of getting into feature film directing. You can choose a variety of different paths to end up as a feature director. But I had started off in visual effects, and then I'd moved into directing TV commercials. And when I was directing commercials, I found that, like, I wasn't doing enough really, you know, sort of crazy creative work. It was more corporate, you know, commercial work, like commercials are. So I was constantly directing these crazy short films between my commercial paying jobs. I guess primarily for me to become a better director, as opposed to the work being able to go onto your demo reel and that you can show people you can direct, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, so I made Alive in Joburg because, you know, I wanted to experiment with that type of filmmaking, and it had a lot of ideas in it that I kind of wanted to see realized as well. So I did that, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then later on, we turned it into what's now District 9.
Tell me the story of how Peter Jackson became involved.
Well, when I was doing commercials, it's like I said, like I always wanted to direct features. So when I had enough, when I had sort of a complete enough body of work, I got a really well-known Hollywood agent who took all of my work and gave it to the various studios. And my whole philosophy, as it is definitely being reinforced now, is that I didn't want to be a studio director. Like, I didn't want to be a director who was going to be a puppet for a studio to make, you know, a big summer film. And and then I completely, you know, went against my own philosophy when my agent gave my work to Universal Studios, and they offered me the opportunity to direct a pretty big summer film that was called Halo, which was the film version of the video game Halo.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Peter Jackson was the director. So essentially my agent, oh sorry, he was the producer. My agent gave my stuff to Universal. Universal then gave my stuff to Peter and said we should consider Neil, because Pete was already the executive producer of the film. And then he liked my work, and he flew me down to New Zealand, and I hung out with him for like a week, where he was getting to know me and, you know, deciding if I was the guy to do Halo with him. And then I signed on to do it, and he signed off on me, and we spent 6 months working on it, and then the studios pulled the plug on the film, which is quite common in Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, of course.
To implode, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I met him, and we had quite a good relationship. And when Halo died, he just said, you know, let's just work on something else. And that's, at that point is where I clicked back to my original philosophy, which I should never have violated in the first place, which was to make my own stuff and you know, to come up with the concept and be in charge of it and not be at the mercy of Hollywood politics as much.
But if you hadn't, sold out in a way and gone through Universal, you probably wouldn't have met Peter Jackson, and you wouldn't be where you are today. So
no, it's 100% true. It's 100% true. I mean, it's a balancing act. The whole thing is a total balancing act.
Yeah,
time, you know, but
always.
But there's no question that there is a difference between directors that are sort of, you know, auteur-driven, self-creating directors that have a voice versus you know, the studio breed of director, and I'm just not interested in being that. But you're right, though. You're absolutely right that you do have to, you know, you have to use the system to kind of get out there and meet people, and so
yeah,
it ended up well, thank God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So did Peter kind of give you carte blanche to do what you wanted with Alive in Joburg?
Well, kind of an interesting question. I mean, I wouldn't say carte blanche. I think he said right from the beginning, I'm going to let you make the film that you want to make, and it's going to be your film, and I want people to perceive it as yours, and I'll be here to support you, which is very cool. And then in a very, you know, select few instances, there were a few different sort of differing opinions between the two of us on a couple of things. But ultimately, I'd say it's probably one of the most free environments for a director to work, you know, that I can imagine. So it's a very fortunate position.
And probably not what you would get within the studio system.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you would get that if you... See, I mean, it's just like everything else that, you know, economics dictates how it works, really. So if you're a successful film director in terms of box office success, because box office is really all that counts,
mm-hmm.
then you will ultimately get to the point where you will have that kind of freedom with the studio, because your track record shows that they're going to make millions of dollars off of you. So Peter can do that with a studio, or
yes.
James Cameron can do that with a studio. But if you're a younger director and you're starting off, the studio will definitely try to control you a little bit more, for sure, because you don't have that track record.
Now, you born and grew up in South Africa.
Yeah.
And when I watched the film, and I know I'm not saying anything that everybody else hasn't said about it, there were definitely a metaphor for apartheid in the film.
Yeah. And a few other things. I mean, it's not strictly just apartheid, but yes, you're right. It's heavily metaphorical, for sure.
And was that your original intention when you made Alive in Joburg?
Yeah, totally. You know, I don't know. It's just these... I think people definitely are a product of their environment, and I left Joburg when I was 18, and it left this sort of very severe, I don't know what to call it. It left me with a constant sense of that the world is about races that are right now in the process of really having to merge with one another, or collide into one another, or whatever you want to call it, because of globalization.
Mm-hmm.
And Johannesburg kind of represents the world in a microcosm. It's like it's kind of like, I always say, I think Joburg represents the future of the planet, and it's like on my mind all the time. So it's a mixture of race topics and xenophobic issues and refugee issues that we're going to see more and more. So those issues are on my mind a lot, and the film, I guess, is a product of that. But then the other thing that's weird is that if I'd grown up in North America, I would just be a science fiction geek, because I'm already that. From growing up in Joburg, I was already just a total science fiction geek. The only difference is that growing up there, there's this added kind of, you know, socio-political thing that gets layered on top of it. So it's a mixture of those two things. It's like a summer science fiction film mixed with some other more important issues, I guess.
Something just occurred to me, getting back to District 9, the fact that you named the head prawn, for someone who hasn't seen the film, those are the aliens. Christopher yeah. Johnson, what was behind that? Interesting name for an alien.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing with District 9 is that there was a massive amount of thought put into the world that, you know, this alternate reality of planet Earth, where these creatures live on our planet, and they, you know, obviously they live in Johannesburg. So there was a lot of thought given to how this society would function, specifically in Joburg. And one thing, I was trying to pull analogies and, you know, trying to draw as many correlations between real life and what's happened in human history to the film as I could. And one thing was the idea that immigrants in any country, really, a lot of the time their names, if they're too difficult to pronounce, are just changed. You know, the powers that be in their new adoptive country will just change them. Like, you saw that happen a lot in North America with, like, Poles and Russians.
Sure.
And, you know, their names would just be changed. So I thought it was pretty funny that these aliens would arrive and that they needed some kind of, you know, form of identification. And the South African authorities would just run through these reams of, like, names and surnames, you know. And they'd go through, like, every first name with that surname until all the first names were used up, and then move on to the next surname. But really, looking back on it, it should have just been numbers. And I had some artwork drawn up for the numbering mechanism, because it would be even more dehumanizing. But I was trying to balance that with satire as well. So.
And it, I thought it worked, and I'm sure others did as well. What are you working on now? There's been talk of District 10.
District 10. Yeah, maybe District 10. I kind of, right now, I'm in the process of getting pretty close to finishing my script for this new film that I'm totally in love with, which at the end of District 9, I signed on with a new project with this company called Media Rights Capital, which is financing the film. And so far, it's been amazing. It's been really, really cool. I've just been kind of left alone, though, for the last few months, just writing it and conceptualizing it. So I should have that done pretty soon, and I want to try to shoot it in the second half of this year.
Great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, the fact that your film was nominated for Best Picture, your screenplay was nominated, but you weren't nominated in the director category. I think in Hollywood they say that means the film directed itself.
Yeah,
they say that somewhat ruefully. How do you feel about that, or do you feel that it's just a case of 10 nominees for Best Picture but only 5 for director, and somebody had to be left out?
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I think without 10 nominees for Best Picture, District 9 certainly would not be anywhere near there. And I think that, you know, the fact that I've been left out of directing certainly doesn't really bother me at all. But one thing is for sure, which is that the film didn't direct itself.
No.
I think it's hard to say. You know, there's the thing that I look for in films is a singular vision and something that makes me feel like I'm watching something that's coming straight out of somebody's head, you know, whether it works or not. And when I watch films that do direct themselves and that feel like pure studio products, it drives me insane. I mean, I think everybody hates those kind of films. I know what District 9 comes across as if audience members watch it, and I think that they know that it's pretty much straight out of my head onto the screen. I wouldn't be surprised my whole career if I was never nominated for Best Director. It just doesn't, I've never thought of myself as someone who fits into that Oscar, you know, thing. I'm too much of like a weapons and guys exploding and strange monsters and creatures guy to be taken seriously, I think.
So you're going to the ceremonies, the Oscars?
Yeah, I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it?
I am kind of. I used to be a lot more resistive to all of this kind of award stuff. I don't know why. It's like I was saying earlier, I just never really thought of myself as someone who fits into that world of Hollywood. It's like I'm more interested in making films than I am about going and mingling with celebrities. Mm. But I've been to the Golden Globes now, and I just got back from London from the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is meeting other filmmakers, and that's the thing that I'm starting to like about it. So, you know, going to the Oscars means you get to meet people that are doing the same thing that you're doing, and that's kind of what I like. So I'm looking more forward to it now than I would have thought I would have.
Well, I wish you all the best at the ceremony next Sunday, and thank you for giving us some time today, and I look forward to seeing you on the podium.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. We'll see how it goes.